Praise God. I greet you again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the title of the message this evening is The Joy of the Lord is Your Strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. And God wants his people to realize that he has given each one of us as born again joy. And he wants us to understand how that joy is to come forth and how it is good for us to demonstrate God's joy because it is our strength. Amen. I'm going to give you the dictionary from the world's point of view of joy. This is some of the definitions for joy from the dictionary. It says, joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something good or satisfying. That is how joy is defined. Joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something good or satisfying. And I looked up the definition of happy, and actually they're very similar. Happy means delighted or a particular thing characterized by pleasure, or joy. Pleasure, contentment, or joy. Amen. Now, that's the definition from the world's point of view of joy. And this is my definition of joy. Joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit. God wants us to realize that joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit that God gives to every born believer. This is God's joy. God's joy is characterized by peace in a believer's life, contentment, delight in good times, and in not so good times. So joy doesn't have anything to do with the circumstances or the times or whatever we are experiencing. Amen. The good times and not so good times. Even when a believer is experiencing deep sadness or great loss, it is possible to still keep and demonstrate our joy that God has given to every believer, even in difficult times. And I'm going to read that one more time. But the meat of it is, it doesn't matter what we are facing or what we are going through, that we can still have joy. Now, the world's type of joy is characterized by, if you have something good that happens to you, a good experience, then that brings forth joy. But that is not what God says, and it's just not true. Amen. And some may be saying, like, well, you know, I'm going through and I don't have joy. Well, there's a way that you can have joy. And God wants every one of his people to have joy and to have it all the time, regardless of our situations or circumstances. Because there are going to come situations and circumstances, and everything is not the devil. Sometimes it's simply life circumstances that you go through. And it can be a test. And God wants us to realize that we are to still demonstrate his joy. And it's not something that has to be worked up. Amen. Praise God. How many want joy? How many want more joy? Amen. We're talking about God's kind of joy, and we can have it demonstrated. It's one thing to have something. It's another thing to demonstrate it. Every believer already has the joy, but everybody is not experiencing it or demonstrating it. So God wants us to demonstrate his joy. I'm going to give you my definition of joy one more time. Joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit that God gives to every believer. Praise God. God's joy is characterized by peace. Can have peace in an unpeaceful situation. Contentment, being satisfied in whatever state. Paul said he was satisfied, you know, in whatever state he was in. And he was in some horrible situations, but he still had joy. He still had the joy of the Lord. And he says to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's what he said in Philippians, praise God. Peace is contentment, delight in good times and not so good times. Even when a believer is experiencing deep sorrow, not just sorrow, but deep sorrow or sadness or a great loss, it is possible to still keep and demonstrate our joy that God has given to every born-again believer in difficult times. Amen. You may have lost a job. You might, having lost that job, feel like, well, you know, I'm in an certain situation right now. I don't know, you know, what the future may hold. God wants whatever the situation is that a believer is going through, even the loss of jobs, to realize that He is Almighty God. Realize that He is the great I Am. You say, well, what does that mean? You know, that was one of His first names that was revealed to Moses. He said, tell them that I am that I am. The Lord was saying, I am who you need me to be. Amen. Hallelujah. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am your healer. Maybe you're going through emotionally. Maybe you feel, you know, going through depression or going through physically. Well, God wants you to know that He is our great I Am. Amen. Praise God. But we've got to believe that. We have to stand on His word, and we've got to do what the word of God says. Amen. Praise God. And, you know, God does not lie. I choose to believe God's report. Amen. Praise God. And I hope that everybody here does as well. Amen. The Lord wants us to recognize that He is the joy giver. He is the true joy giver. And the joy stealer is the devil. Amen. That's what His job is, because He knows that if He can get our joy, then He's got our strength. Most times, believers don't connect joy with strength, but they go hand in hand. Joy and strength, strength and joy go hand in hand. And so God does not want us to let our joy go. Amen. Praise God. And to recognize that even when life situations come, no matter what they are, that He wants us to still not give it up and to demonstrate it. You know, as I was preparing the word, I thought about my mother and father. Both of my parents have, you know, passed, and they've gone on to be with the Lord. But I was very close to both of my parents. But I believe I was probably closer to my mother than I was my father, even though I was close to both of them. And my father passed first. He was ill. And he was ill, and I was, you know, praying, and not only me, but others, you know, and you know, praying that, you know, he would get his total manifested healing. But he passed. Now, it was a very hurtful thing. It was a very sorrowful thing. And I experienced deep sorrow. Any one of you that have had a loved one to pass, you know what that is like. Someone that you love. Amen. And so that was the case, you know, with my father. Now, during the time of his illness, I was asked to be co-chairman of a church anniversary. They were celebrating, it was over 100-year anniversary, and I was actually the chairman, and I asked for this other lady to assist me. So there was a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. And my parents were out of state, so I was going back and forth, between, you know, being at home and going to do the things that needed to be done at home, and then going out of state, you know, to minister to my parents. Praise God. So when he passed, being the oldest, I was the one that had to prepare the whole, practically the entire, going home service. And any of you have been through that, you know what that's like. Even if you have other brothers and sisters and relatives, the one that does it, really, it's a lot to have to be done. I was not able, the pastor of the church wanted me to speak. I was not able to do it because I was very, very deeply saddened, very deeply sorrowful, and I did not feel like I could do it. After everything was over, and I'm sharing this with you to encourage you, you know, that what you're going through, God is giving you what you need on the inside of you, no matter how hard it is. Amen. So after everything was over and a whole lot of things happened in the interim, in between, and I'm not going to take time to go into that. Well, I will tell you this. One of the things was when we, and I hadn't planned on sharing this, but maybe this will help somebody else that might go through something similar like this. We had moved him from one hospital to another hospital because we felt in our spirit that everything was not on the up and up. And when he was in there, and I mean, it was just really, the person who was in charge was really upset. That's why, you know, when you have someone in the hospital, you really need to be there or have somebody be there as much as possible. Anyway, so he was moved to another hospital, and he was doing very, very well. To make a long story short, someone came in the room, we never found out to the day who it was, and did a procedure that was not supposed to be done, and he died. Now, you know, but that's okay, we know where he is, amen? So I hadn't planned on sharing that, but that must be for somebody. And so, but at any rate, so in addition to all the other things that were going on, there was, you know, other things were happening. But after the home going and so forth and so on, you know, I was still having to help and prepare and do all that's involved in being, you know, a co-chairman of an anniversary. And I thank God for the lady that was assisting me because she was a tremendous help. But I still was sorrowful, and it's natural to be sorrowful. Now, when my mother passed, who I was closer to, and, you know, I don't really fully understand it other than, you know, I've asked the Lord, maybe it was that I had matured more in the Lord. I had grown more spiritually. But when she passed, it again, you know, I was the one that had to do the entire service, basically. You know, so it's a lot doing that. And then that Sunday coming back, I had to preach the service at home. At, you know, at our church, Total Salvation Church. And those that were there know that I had such a joy, a manifested joy. It's one thing to have an inward joy, but it's another thing to have a manifested joy. And, you know, I guess some people may say, you know, why is she so joyful? Why is she, you know? Well, it was God on the inside. I knew both of them had gone to be with the Lord, yet I had a deep loss. I had a deep sorrow, like I did with my father. But the difference was, you know, several years later, was that the joy was able to be visibly manifested. Now, when my father passed, I wasn't there crying, you know, when I'm overseeing the service, the anniversary or anything like that. But I knew that that heaviness was really, really there. And some people that knew me knew it as well. You know how you can sense things people are going through? Others may not have sensed it, but with my mom, would you would think it would have been the opposite because we were closer. But that was not the case. That God just gave, allowed that joy to be manifested in such a significant way, and it didn't leave. You know, it's continued. That's not to say that I wasn't sorrowful. That's not to say that I didn't shed tears. You're supposed to be sorrowful. You know, you're supposed to shed tears, but you're supposed to, you know, at some point in time, you know, just keep dragging on and on and on. But I share that with you that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you will have to face, no matter what you're going through, that there is a joy that God has given to every believer if we will do, and we're going to look at, see how this can be manifested shortly, do what the Word of God says on a consistent basis, that even though in hard, hard situations, I don't care what they are, we can still not only have the joy of the Lord, but that joy of the Lord can be manifested in our lives on an ongoing basis. And God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be looking like lemon juice. And, you know, as born-again believers, and I know, you know, you probably can identify being around Christians, you don't really say, what's wrong with them? Why do they, you know, look so sour? You know, if we as Christians can think that about other believers, what do you think believers think about us? I said, why do I want their God? Look at them. You know, we should be the most joyful people because we have God dwelling on the inside of us. And not only that, you know, as we keep our hands in God's hands, we have rewards in this life, but we also have reward of the promise of seeing him one day and receive the rewards that he has in store for us in heaven as well as here on the earth. Amen. So, yes, life circumstances and challenges are going to come. They come to everybody. Sometimes they're a result of the, you know, the devil. Sometimes they're not. They're just a result of things, you know, just happen. Sometimes it's things that we've done. But regardless, God wants his joy to be manifested on an ongoing basis in our lives. And even though we might be going through something, we should still let the joy of the Lord be seen. We shouldn't be, you know, coming in with sour faces or, you know, at school or wherever. The joy of the Lord should be bubbling up on the inside of us and coming forth. And that is our strength. That is why we who do this are strong in the Lord. Not that you don't go through, but that you have a joy knowing that you're not going through by yourself. You stay focused on the prize. Amen. And that's what Jesus did. And he is always our example number one. And if you believe that, can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. To God be the glory. Amen. In the Word of God, we're going to look at two scriptures. And the first one that I want us to look at is turn to John, the Gospel of John, in your Bible, John 15. When you found it, can you say amen? Praise God. Praise you, Lord. John 15, verse 9. And I'm going to be reading verses 9 through 14. As the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. In my what? This is keys to having the joy of the Lord. Keep this in mind. We're talking about the joy of the Lord is our strength. Verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Jesus had to do the same thing, didn't he? That he's telling us to do. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. That what? That Jesus' joy might remain in us, and that your joy might be full. I'm going to stop right there. So God's telling us right now how to have his love manifested in our lives. It's through obeying the love commandment. That's what it is. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Amen. Ye are my friends if, say if, ye do whatsoever I command you. Amen. Now, Jesus has told us that if we want to have joy, and we know the joy of the Lord is our strength, then we're going to have to obey his commandments, just like he obeyed the Father in the love commandments. Amen. And they're not grievous. They're only, you know, in Matthew, he only gives two. And the first one is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, our mind, and our soul. And the second is like unto it, love our neighbor as ourself. And I know you've heard me say many, many times, if we get those two right, then we don't have to worry about, you know, the other ten. Because if we love, really, really love God, then we're going to treat everybody right. We're not going to commit adultery, we're not going to steal, we're not going to lie, we're not going to covet, not going to do any of those things, murder, any of the Ten Commandments, they will not be broken. And we will also love our neighbor, and that's not just the person next door. Amen. That's whoever we come in contact with, as ourselves. And so I want you to turn to Matthew 22. And hold your place there, we're going to come back to John, Matthew 22. And I want us to read it together. Praise God. When you found it, can you say amen? Praise God. Amen. We're going to read Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40. Ready? Read. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. And that's simply saying that if we do those two, we don't have to be concerned about the other ten. Because those two take care of the other ten if we will do them. Amen. Praise God. It's all tied up in love. And as we do that, then the joy of the Lord is manifested in our lives. That's the key. That's the joy of the Lord. Somebody said, well, you know, why don't I have much joy? Are you keeping God's commandments? The love commandments? Amen. Jesus tells us. He tells us right in John, the key for his love, for the joy of the Lord to be manifested in a believer's life. Turn back to John 15. When you found it, can you say amen? Praise God. John 15. And let's read. We're going to read it together. And I encourage you to underline. I have my Bible underlined and marked real good. Amen. 10 through 14. Ready? Read. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And you can read all of 15 later on. I'm not going to take time to teach on that right now. But, you know, the Lord is letting us know the importance of walking in love, that it's all tied up with our joy. Amen. How many want to glorify Father God? The Word of God says, if we bear much fruit, we glorify Father God. And we glorify God by bearing fruit. And one of the fruit is joy. Amen. Look at verse 8. Let's read it together. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much joy. So shall ye be my disciples indeed. Amen. So the Lord wants us to bear much fruit. He says we will be his disciples. And a disciple means follower of God, a pupil. Amen. One that will do what the Word of God says consistently. Amen. Praise God. So the Lord wants us not to be hearers only, but doers, realizing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Jesus did what Father God told him to do because he stayed focused and he kept his joy full. He bared much fruit. You see right here, you know, he said that the commandments that Father God gave him, he kept them. He walked in love. And God wants us to keep the love commandments as well. Amen. Praise God. The Word of God tells us that for the joy that was set before me, before Jesus Christ, he endured the cross, despising the shame. For the what? Joy. For the joy that was set before him. How many remember what the joy is? It's us. Us. Amen. Jesus knew that he was going to have to go to the cross. He knew he was going to have to go through so much before he even went to Calvary's cross. I mean, people called him, said, well, he did. He was always about doing a good work. And as he was doing a good work, the devil made sure that there was always, always somebody there to try to tear Jesus down. Always, always somebody there to try to discourage him from doing the will of the Father. Always somebody. He would be doing a good work and they would say, well, you know, well, you did that because you are the power from the devil. In other words, they were calling him the devil. Here he is, God, the Son. But he could not let his focus stay off of the joy. We need to keep our focus on the joy. Amen. And our joy should, number one, be the great I am. Our joy, number one, should be Almighty God. Amen. What we do, we should do it as unto the Lord. You know, sometimes we, you know, even, you know, on the job, we might have things that, you know, we're asked to do and may not really want to do them. But if they're not something that are dishonest or, you know, or against what's right, then we should do it, and we should do it with a good attitude. Amen. In school, children, in school, you should always be an example. Amen? I'm talking to children now. Always be an example in the school. Maybe other people think, well, that person over there, they think they so hot, they hot shot. That's okay. Don't let that stop you from being an example of Jesus Christ. Amen? If the teacher says, well, you know, I don't want you to talk in class, and other children in class might be throwing, I don't know if they still throw spitballs or not, but throwing spitballs or airplanes or things like that, then you don't do it. Amen? Hallelujah. You demonstrate Jesus Christ in your life, at school, and wherever you are. Amen. So God wants us to, you know, keep focused on Him. He is the great I Am. Realizing He's on the inside of us, and He's equipped us. We already have His joy inside of us. And if it's not coming forth, then we need to examine our hearts and see what area of love that you're not walking in, and get it right. Amen. Sometimes, you know, the enemy, he's so sly. And I know you've heard me say this before. Sometimes he'll bring people across your path that will try to get you, or get you into unforgiveness. Maybe, you know, maybe you are the one that's been, you know, has to, you know, do a homegoing service. And maybe you feel like, well, you know, I should have help. Other people should be here. And nobody is doing their part. You know, you can't even let that cause you to get out of the love walk. Your flesh would want to rise up. I'm just seeing how the enemy does. He doesn't care who he uses. He doesn't care what the tactic is, but he wants to get a believer out of walking in love, because he knows that he can do that. Then the joy of the Lord is not going to be manifested, and they will not have the strength that they need, that you need, for your daily journey with the Lord. And not with just the Lord, but here in this world. Amen. So, you know, if you're in unforgiveness with anybody, I encourage you to get it right. Get it right in a hurry, because it's just not worth it. It just is not worth it. Amen. Sometimes a person has died and they're out the picture, and that person is still in unforgiveness and it leads to bitterness. Then you need to just say, pray every day, Lord, I forgive so-and-so, and I choose to walk in love. And you might feel like you haven't forgiven them, but you don't go by feelings. People get saved. They don't feel like they're saved. You don't go by feelings. You do it by faith. Amen. And you just say, Lord, I choose to walk in love. I choose to do it your way. And don't give the enemy a foothold in any area. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So looking at John's gospel, the word of God tells us the importance of joy. The Lord wants our joy to remain and to come forth. And it's all tied to walking in love. The last scripture we're going to look at, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews this evening. Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. And sometimes as believers don't think about this. Some believers don't know it. But if you're in this church, you do. Many times, you know, I believe God allows those that have gone on to look over the balconies of heaven as we are running this race to see how we're doing. Amen. They're aware many times of what's going on the earth as God permits and God allows. And they're encouraging us. You know, saying, go on, you can do it. Go God's way. Don't go that way. Let that person go out of your life. Come on, follow God. Go on, go on. Why? Because they want us to make it in. They want us to be in heaven with them, and more importantly, the Lord. Amen. So the word of God says, run this race with patience. And it talks about those that are, you know, watching us run this race. Amen. Hebrews, praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be reading it. Chapter 12. Praise God. I'm going to be reading Hebrews 12 through 4, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. How many weights? Every weight. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen? With a good attitude. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It was the joy that kept Jesus going. And that joy was us. Amen. And he walked in love. Amen. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. He went through this for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Hallelujah. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So God doesn't want us to give up, right? He doesn't want you to give up. Ye have not resisted unto blood. Remember Jesus sweat drops of blood? Striving against sin. Amen. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood. Striving against sin. So you can do it. Say, I can do it. Amen. With the help of the Lord. I can bear forth much good fruit. And one of the fruit is the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. I thank you, Almighty God. I have much strength and much joy because I walk in your love, which is your will and your way for me. Amen. Amen. Give yourself a clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And joy and strength go hand in hand. And it's all tied to obeying the commandments of love. Everybody see that? Amen. It's right in the Word of God. Amen. All tied to obeying the commandments of love. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus, Lord. We thank you that he is our example, greatest example of all. We thank you, Father, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And he's now set down on the right hand of you, Father God. Hallelujah. And he ever lives and makes intercession for us. I thank you, Father, for your word taking root in each one's heart. And Father God, I thank you for your people bringing forth much good fruit, Lord, much joy, regardless of the trial or the circumstances, oh God. I thank you for each one passing the test and for going forth, Lord God, and doing that which you commanded in your word, obeying you, Lord God. Hallelujah. So that your joy will remain and your joy may be full and manifested in each one that does your word. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? And amen. God bless you. Praise God.